Well, we don't want to talk about blood because that's graphic. Yet you should see their Netflix queue. It's full of graphic material. Hey, welcome back to Bibleline. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And today's video, we're answering a user-submitted question. And there's a lot of different questions within his question. But basically, it's how do we share the gospel and, you know, convince somebody who believes their works save them is not true. So let's get into it. I believe the true gospel and consider myself a Christian. My question is, how do I effectively convert someone to the true gospel of Jesus Christ when they believe a false gospel of faith plus works? I believe that in order to be saved, we have to trust in Christ alone for our sins. I don't believe Calvinist, Lordship Salvation, or Catholics are saved, but I'm not trying to sound judgmental or mean. It's just I believe the narrow way is narrow because Jesus is the only way. How would I show the gospel to a Calvinist or someone who believes in Jesus, but also trusts in a little bit of their works? And this is where we start to get a lot of different questions. I'm going to do my best to answer all of them, but that's the overall scope. How do we talk to somebody who is trusting in their works and get them to understand that they need to just put their faith in Jesus? What I find happening is that the gospel I share with others comes off as judgmental and argumentative because of how narrow the gospel really is. How do I make the gospel sound nice and all-inclusive without compromising the gospel? Can someone really be saved by faith plus works? I believe it's false and one has to trust in Christ alone. What exactly does Jesus mean in the book of Matthew when he says, "Narrow is the way, and do not cast your pearls before swine"? How important is it to evangelize others to Christ? Can Christ do it for us? Thank you for your time and responses. I appreciate it. I just think it's funny how one question like multiplied instantly to six, but I understand it. I totally understand it because a lot of times there's people that you're listening to and they sound like they believe what the Bible says is required to get to heaven, but then they throw a curveball with works or a pure life or fruit to prove it. And you can just hear one passage taken out of context and it causes all these problems. But rest assured, the Bible is clear. We have the Bible. And it is our only source of authority. Don't forget, if you are watching the video and you're not subscribed, make sure that you hit that red subscription button and the notification bell so that every time we post a video on Bible Line's YouTube channel, you get a notification in your email. Do you have a Bible question? Send it to us. Email us at questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll get that. We'll get an answer back to you and maybe even make a video about it. Don't forget to like, comment, and share this video so that people who have yet to be introduced to the channel find us. All right, so a vast majority of what you're looking for today can be answered with how you're asking questions to the lost person. I think soul winning is an art. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. That's John 15:8. And I think it's really important that the believer is excited about soul winning, whether it's passing on a track or starting a conversation, whatever it is, we want to be able to be clear on the gospel. And as you share the gospel more, you're going to find that there's people who do not believe that salvation is by grace alone. They're adding some bit of works, whether it's I've turned from all my sin, or I've quit this particular sin, or I'm trying my best, or I prayed a prayer, or I gave my life. Those are just some of the common things that you'll hear, and you need to be trained to understand those are works. They're good works, but they're not works that save a person. So when a person is indicating, I have works, therefore, those works justify me before God, I've got three things that you can bring up to them. The first one is James chapter 2 and verse 10, which says this, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." Now, that's very clear. The person who tries to keep the law in every single point but offends in one of those points, the scripture hath said and condemned them as guilty. Now, when you bring that verse up, you're not trying to be inflammatory or impolite or, you know, intolerant of them, so to speak, but it's going to be a natural rebuke to them. And you can ask this question, have you perfectly kept the law from the day of your birth until now? And the answer will be no. They will have tried their best. It's never going to be, I've done it all perfectly. That's the intent of that verse in James 2:10, to expose a person. You have not kept the law perfectly. No matter what sin you've turned from, you haven't turned from them all. It's impossible. The next thing I want you to pay attention to and take note of when you're witnessing to someone who is trusting and works for salvation is what it says in Romans chapter 3 in verse 20. Here's what it says. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, what's the point of this verse? The Bible says, not you. And this is great because it takes the onus off of you and puts it onto God, because this is what God said through the Apostle Paul. We believe Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. No flesh is going to be justified by the deeds of the law. None. Now, you can ask this question to that person. Are you exempted from this Bible passage? And I know that kind of sounds like, all right, you're being difficult, but I'm just being honest. Do they think that their works are better, or that they're the one person that this verse does not apply to? It's a good question to ask. And hopefully, if this person is honest and sincere, they'll begin to think, the Bible is against what I'm saying. And then the last one here is Isaiah 64:6. Very strong passage. Let's read it here. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now, those are menstrual rags. Okay, I normally don't say that from the pulpit with kids present and things like that, but on the video here, I think it's appropriate. Those are menstrual rags. Okay, so this is not something that in light of the audience that this was being written to in Isaiah, you were marked as unclean when a woman was going through that time of the month. And it's not something that we're trying to present to others. She would go to a private place and take care of what her needs were. It's the same thing today. So that is the description of all of our righteousnesses. Yikes, right? And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. What beautiful poetry here, the scripture. However, the point is being made, if that is how our works are viewed, then the question you would ask is, are you satisfied with presenting your works to God for salvation when God has described them this way? The answer should be no. That's not something that you would want to present to anybody. That's something you discard. It's not good. So what you've done here is you have taken God's word and what God's word has said about their works, and you've brought them to that knowledge. Galatians 3:24 is pretty clear as to the purpose of the law. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, this is interesting. A schoolmaster is a teacher, okay? The teacher is supposed to show you something that you don't understand and then bring you to the knowledge of the truth so that you have understanding. The law is not a bad thing. It came from the lips of God. It was written with his finger. It's not a bad thing. It has a purpose. Let the law do its work. It's supposed to condemn us and point us to Jesus Christ, who fulfilled it and shed his blood to pay for our sin. And that's the purpose of the law. However, if a person is saying, my good works stand on par with the shed blood of Christ, that's a heresy. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 9 is very clear. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. That's verse 8. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So the person who's trusting in themselves to get to heaven is saying, hey, look at me. My works are pretty good. As a matter of fact, they're so good, I can boast in them in that I've attained eternal life through my own works. The Bible is disagreeing with that person's statement. Now, addressing the point about how do we make the gospel all-inclusive, I smile and laugh because I understand where the person's, who, you know, I understand the person's intent here with how do we make the gospel, you know, acceptable. But let me just be clear here. To the person that is trying to work their way to heaven, the gospel is a natural rebuke. If you want to see how people receive the gospel taught with love, look at how the Pharisees treated Jesus Christ. Okay, self-righteousness is of the most basic root of sin, and it's pride. And so the person who thinks, I am so good, the gospel is a natural rebuke. Now, you can control how you talk to somebody. I learned in personal evangelism at Florida Bible College the importance of gaining favorable attention. I'm not trying to preach them into oblivion. I'm not trying to condemn them. The Bible does a good job of doing that. I need to have love for them as my neighbor. I need to have love for them and share the truth with them. But there's no way to make the gospel all-inclusive and nice for everybody, because there's people who just don't want to hear it. And that gets into the next point that you have here with Jesus saying not to cast your pearls before swine. The context of that is we're at the tail end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is talking about judging others in Matthew 7, 1, and then about hard-hearted hypocrites in Matthew 7, 5. And he says not to cast your pearls before swine. He's telling the apostles and disciples, those who don't want to hear it, you give it to them. If they don't want to hear it, move on to the next person. I think that's a good application for us today. However, what's happening is a lot of people are taking up the truth and they're sacrificing it for cultural relevancy. Well, we don't want to talk about sin because that's hurts, you know, that hurts people's feelings. Well, we don't want to talk about blood because that's graphic. Yet you should see their Netflix queue. It's full of graphic material. But everybody wants to trim the truth of God's word so that people can be a little more accepting. But they're sacrificing the truth on the altar of cultural relevancy. And it's a shame. But don't be afraid of the truth. Learn how to give the truth in love. But if people respond in a way that's not favorable, if I can be direct and honest, well, I've been honest this whole time, but if I can be frank, that's on them. That's not on you. And then in closing here, you asked, can Christ do it for us? Is he going to evangelize for us? And so on and so forth. Is it our responsibility? 1 Thessalonians 2:4 is some of the clearest material I can give you in regards to that. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God with trieth our hearts. There is an expectation, I believe, by the Lord. It's been given to us by God that you and I take that gospel message, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we get it out to a lost and dying world. That is our responsibility. We will be held accountable to how we deal with that message. There's nothing wrong with prayer. There's nothing wrong with Bible study or church fellowship. Those things are all important. But if we're doing all those things and we're leaving the lost outside, we are missing the point and we are not being responsible with what God has given us to do. So, wrapping all this up, the best way to win somebody who believes in faith plus works to be saved is to show them in the scripture how that theology does not match up. Take it off of you and put it on God's word. That's why it's there. That's why it's there. I hope this has helped you. I know it's a little bit of a longer video than normal, but that's okay. I just want this to be an encouragement to you. I want to show you what the scripture says. We're going to see you next time. Until then, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon.
If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.